Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It is generally thought that David wrote most of the Psalms, but the exact authorship of Psalm 46 cannot be specified for sure. But in Psalm 46, there are many instances in the life of David that were characteristic of the sentiments of this psalm, so we rather believe that the Holy Spirit used David to write it. Now, just what particular occasion may have motivated it, we can't be sure. There is a song composed by Martin Luther. It's entitled, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," and it's sometimes called the Battle Hymn of the Reformation. It's expressed the patriotic fervor and the quality that stirs confidence and hope and daring in the heart of the believer to fight the good fight. It is said that Luther caught in this psalm the meaning and the message of Psalm 46. From verse 1, we conclude that it is good to have faith in God, who is presented to us in three ways. He's our refuge, a place to hide and be covered in safety from the storms and the dangers. He is our strength, a guarantee of stability and steadfastness and power. And He is our help, the source of assistance and the one who lifts us up and heartens us and saves us in time of need. In verses 2 and 3, the writer presents a contrast between the tumultuous world in general and the thoughtful serenity of faithfulness to God. The earth may be removed, the mountains carried into the seas, the waters may roar, the mountains shake and tremble, and everything that man has considered firm and secure, lasting and stable, why, is subjected to collapse and to commotion. But what of that? God is our refuge and strength and help. Therefore, we will not fear. One has commented on this passage by writing, "At this moment, we have the tumult of war, the unrest and anxiety of statesmen and nations as to the balance of power. In politics, a statesman and nations as to the home is a strife and contention of parties. In the commercial world, there are countless anxieties and fierce competitions. Even the religious world is not free from the noise of controversy and the din of party strife. In every realm of life, there's unrest, isn't there? And tumult to a greater or lesser degree. All things are in commotion." Now, this sounds like the writer is describing our present day. He was really writing back in 1892. But our world does have a lot of commotion in it. Little wonder this world has been described as a vale of tears. Job said in Job 14 and verse 1, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." But friend, God has seen His people through trouble in the past, and He does so now and He will again. And this is the assurance of the 46th Psalm. Why is our world in such a state of frustration? Is it not because mankind is unable to live as we should without God? The turbulence of the world is made so directly and indirectly because of sin and lust and the uncontrolled passions and greed and hate, the unchecked ambitions and selfishness of mankind. And because of sin, there's never to be found in this world the complete peace that cannot be interrupted. Nothing in this life is stable and secure. But even so, in the midst of all the worldly havoc, we will not fear. And why is it that even in the midst of the earthquake and the invasions and the disasters and all the desperate situations that we see, why do we not fear? Why can the believer look with such confidence upon God as his refuge and strength and help? Well, from verse 4, instead of the fear-instilling confusion of this world, there is the supply of refreshing, life-giving waters that provide the grace and the comfort and the nourishment. The city of God is a symbolism for the place of habitation of God's people, Of course, that corresponds today to the Lord's church. And in that city is given a free-flowing stream of mercies that bring rich blessings to the citizens of God's city, the place of supply and blessing. And again, in verse 5, security is assured because of God's presence. God is in the midst of her, the scripture says. His presence was the security of ancient physical Israel, and his presence is no less with his people now. His presence makes his city unlike the threatening world that quakes and roars round about us. His presence means stability, dear friend. She shall not be moved. Here is that which is dependable and that which shall last. Here is something upon which we can count and we can look for without end. God is the rock of refuge, the haven of rest, providing for us the anchor of the soul. And then again, God shall help, and that right early. Our undaunted state of mind is attributable to the guarantee that God in his time and in his proper season, with utmost speed, will assist us in our time of trouble. Now, we all love the parable of the Good Samaritan because that man acted in the likeness of God. Trouble befell the traveler, and the Samaritan gave the needed assistance. That's what God does for us. Not only was his help immediate, but it was promised for the future, even in the surrounding of the greatest of peril. At no time is help so welcome as in the time when we are beset with problems and troubles. The psalmist tells us that God is ever present. He's with us and will see us through each trial. And then again, in verse 6, we can remain serene in this life because the power of God is greater than that of our enemy. Oh, the heathen rage, the kingdoms are shaken, the enemy shall melt beneath the utterances from the voice of God. Now, sometimes it seems that the wicked have their own way, and we have temporarily fallen before our enemies. But that's not forever. We should not fear. When our enemies are at his command and the Lord of hosts is with us, our ultimate victory, friend, is secured. In verse 7 of this psalm, God is identified as the God of Jacob, and that means he's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God who created all things by the power of his word. It's that same God, Jehovah of heaven, who is promised and who is our refuge, and there is no other like power and might as our God. When we read verse 8, the psalmist turns our attention to two worthy considerations which add to our security and confidence. One is the works of God, and the other is the glory of God. Now, he mentions two works in particular. One is the desolation he hath made in the earth. Now, this desolation is against the enemies of righteousness. By such desolation, the Lord is saying, do you not see how vain it is to fight against Jehovah? Is it not clear that all your noise and rush and fury and roar and fear and boasting, it is but empty prattle? Can you realize the senselessness of the struggle against the eternal and omnipotent God? In verse 9 of Psalm 46, it mentions another work of God, and that is the giving a true and lasting peace. Now, this peace is not obtainable in this world and by this world. God acts so as to render his enemies incapable of prosecuting their devastation by destruction of their very implements of which they wage their war. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Yes, the enemy shall be destroyed. When the weaponry of the forces of evil is taken away, then peace can come to the people of God. There are three kinds of peace available to us, friend. One is peace with our fellow man. We desire that, do we not? And two, there's peace within ourselves. And three is peace with God. Now, we can have peace with God in this life. Even to a large measure, have peace with ourselves and with others if we follow the ways of God. And this psalm also mentions the glory of God. God is saying to a disturbed and confused world wherein we must live, he said, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And this companionship and fellowship with God will be sufficient for all our needs. There were two painters. Each painted a picture representing his conception of the peace that Jesus gives. The first chose for his scene a lone sea nestled away in the mountains, and there was a calm sea. Not a breeze was blowing, not a ripple disturbed the surface, not a cloud was in the sky. It was night, and the bright moon was casting a reflection on the mirror of the placid water. The second painter threw on his canvas another sea. It was a wild and restless sea. The boisterous wind was beating upon its bosom, and the giant waves were rolling and foaming in their fury. Every tree on the shore was bending to the might of the terrific storm. And out in the midst of the angry sea and above the thundering waves, a giant rock lifted its head. And on top of that rock, a dove had built her nest. And there she found repose. There she was resting, undisturbed and unafraid. I suggest, friend, this latter scene, not the former, describes the peace that Jesus gives. The first is only stagnation. The second is peace. Now, in the peace that comes from above, there are two elements. There's calm and storm. There's tranquility and commotion. There's silence and turbulence in our lives. Sometimes there's inward stillness, but sometimes there's outward strife. Now, the Lord does not promise his people a peace of perfect surroundings or ideal circumstances all the time. He does not guarantee us immunity from trials and persecutions and adversities or opposition, even temptations and unjust criticisms. Tribulations come our way. He doesn't promise us to be immune from that. No, not at all. In fact, Jesus said, "In the world ye have tribulation." Instead, he said, he gives his people his peace in spite of these things. Within the soul of man who trusts the divine power and who walks humbly with his God, there is established a holy calm that refuses to be disturbed by the angry elements round about him and beneath him. He has made the rock of ages his refuge, and therefore he is not afraid. Dear listening friend, because of God's judgment against evil and his granting peace to the people who are his own, his matchless and boundless glory and power, we can take heart. We can be comforted. We can have no fear in our restless and turbulent world. And is that not something that we desire? And is it not something that we need? Why, every day, all day, we hear about the turmoil of things going round about. Whatever happens in one part of the world, while it's broadcast all over the world, and it seems like the whole world is just a boiling pot of disturbance and trouble. But those who belong to God, they'll have peace, and all will be well. Dear friend, I hope you'll be listening to our program again tomorrow. This is all for which we have time today, and we want you to remember to fear God and keep his commandments. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.